program was recorded earlier.
Welcome to Hope in the Night, late night talk radio offering biblical hope and practical help, and on the air now for over 25 years. I'm Jeff Oliver, here with author and speaker June Hunt. June, you know, when I got married, as you would say, 100 years ago, my wife took a look at my checkbook, my single young man checkbook, and there were not entries in it for a couple of years. And she took it away from me, and she said, I will handle the finances. Is there any reason that I need to pick that back up or be aware, what would
you... Are you now, even though, let's see, how long have you been married?
23 years.
Okay, you're saying, but should I learn how to do this now just in case one day... She's died.
Not able to, right.
Okay. Well, that's very interesting. By the way, I am a firm believer in, and I've seen this over and over, there are times when certain males have thought that they, because just they happen to be male, they have to do all the finances. Hmm. No, it's whoever's best and who enjoys it and who's capable. I've seen people who get married, the guys are just... working, trying to figure out, or just feeling so frustrated, and then she takes it over, and it's great, and not making a big deal. It's just that's the area of her giftedness.
Right.
The Bible does not distinguish that this is a male job, this is a female job in terms of like finances. Now, having said that, in a different vein, let me just turn the corner. There's a fairly new widow, maybe 6 months, and that is in a Bible class that I'm in. And she mentioned something about her husband's favorite song. I'd never heard of it before, but I found it and was able to listen to some people sing it, and I played it on guitar so that the Sunday morning I was able to do that song for her. And that now I've got it printed out so to give her a copy of the text to give her, and that was supposed to be on Saturday. Well, all of a sudden, she calls and said that there was something that occurred in their family, and here's a son who's going to the emergency room, but he wouldn't let her take him. And I'm thinking, okay, and I said, now why is that? If he had to take a dart rail, and he said, because I'm to take care of you, you're not to take care of me. And I'm listening to this, and I think this is a mother's natural, the son lives with a grown son, lives with the mom, and she said he's been a real blessing. But I learned, and there's a reason I'm telling this. I'm going to use a phrase, and I don't see her that way. As I interacted with her and her husband, had a good relationship, just casual still. But she's in a position of being like helpless Hannah. And what that means is people have done so much for her. And like she told me on Saturday, and she called his name, I'll call him Jim. I told Jim, I need to know where things are, because if something happens to you, I don't know where anything is. And he said, okay, I'll get around to it. Well, he never did. So she was just like, it was helpless at that time. And, her grown children had come in and figure out things, and because it was an unexpected death. I personally, I never could count on my dad. He was not a handy kind of person. He was much, much, much older than, he was double my mom's age. And I just felt I had to learn whatever I could. So whenever there were repair men, or if there was a repair woman who would come in, I would say, may I watch? And it didn't really matter what it was. I just thought I needed to know just in case. And now, at least I got exposed to a lot of things, and I felt real good about doing that. Did I know how to fix all these things? No. But I saw processes. And I just want to encourage all of us, be aware that just because you have a pattern of living with someone who's handy to do all kinds of things, that person may not be there later. And through no cause of yours, but it kind of goes back to what you're saying, Jeff. Do you know where the finances are? Where are the pages? In fact, I think I have a lot of things. I have things that are not in the keys yet, but on terminal illness, it's a lot of things to think through on the topic of terminal illness. Things that you need to do, or the topic of death, this is preparing for reality. This is under terminal illness. You know, perhaps your own emotional war is being won, but how is your family coping with your illness or whatever? But it's all these things to do, like record your will, express your desires, arrange your affairs, leave a legacy of love, identify your fear. It's all these practical things to do. It's our keys called terminal illness. How can I ever let go?
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
Would you like to talk to June Hunt about a situation in your life? Consider having that conversation on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night, and let June help you discover practical help that's grounded in God's truth. Your story will be heard on all of our radio affiliates, and of course, we protect your privacy by providing you with a different name. And as it happens often in our program, when you share your story, you might help someone else find biblical hope and practical help for their lives. It's ministry multiplied. For an opportunity to talk with June Hunt on Hope in the Night about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or some other concern in your life, call 800-NIGHT-17. That's 800-644-4817. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call tonight. 800-NIGHT-17. 800-644-4817.
Welcome back to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we want to help you, and we want to help you help others. If you have questions about this or any number of topics, we have over 100 keys for living, sure to address what you might be dealing with in your life. And as June was just talking about, the preparing for being able to carry out those daily tasks, those necessary tasks in life, without the person there who usually does that in the household, we have keys called terminal illness. How can I ever let go? Again, that's terminal illness. How can I ever let go? Also, we have keys for living on the topic of death and heaven called the doorway to your destiny. You can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. In order to get those resources in your hands, they're available Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. They'd be happy to help you and answer any questions you might have. The number again is 800-488-4673. Also, we invite you to check out our website, hopefortheheart.org/store. There you can find the new updated Keys for Living, a Lifeline to Hope online training, as well as June's many biblical resources and also music CDs. And you'll find it all there at hopefortheheart.org/store. Let's get to our caller for tonight. She listens on the BOTS radio network in Missouri. Tonight, we have Tabitha.
Hello, Tabitha. Welcome to Hope.
Hi, June. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome. How can we help you, sweetheart?
Oh, well, thanks. So about a week ago, I lost my rescue cat that I love very much and just very hard to cope with, especially when I had to take her to the vet and let her go.
Oh, so I am so sorry.
Oh, thank you. I had called just because I wanted some sort of consolation that she was in heaven, but I was always told, no, animals don't have a soul. They won't go to heaven. And I just find it absolutely unthinkable that that would just be the end of it.
Before we go,
and angels don't have souls either.
Well, you know, some people think when, like, a child dies, that the child turns into an angel, but that's not true, because angels are created beings that are specifically created by God, and they have a whole different structure. There's a whole different, the Lord tells us what happens to, you know, people who die. So it's not a child becomes an angel, or a husband or a wife or a loved one becomes an angel. That's a certain class of God's creation. And what, therefore, we would know is the cat doesn't become an angel. But so who is telling you, what is this advice that you've been given by others?
I guess well-meaning people, even when I went to a Baptist high school, they would tell me that, no, my cat doesn't have a soul, animals don't have souls, so unless you have a soul, you can't go to heaven. So, you know, people have souls, so they go to heaven, but animals don't. So it made me think that that's just the end of her, and I just can't even cope with the thought of that just being the end of her. I'll never see her again.
Well, let's talk about the first part, about animals in heaven. And I've just turned in my Bible to Revelation 19, and I see in my handwriting, I have in brackets at the top of a page, I have animals and animals in heaven written by, in my own handwriting. But I'm going to read to you beginning in verse 11 of Revelation 19. I saw heaven. This is referring to heaven, not some other time frame. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse. So right there, what is your conclusion? Is a horse an animal?
Sure, yes.
Okay, and are we talking about heaven?
Yes.
Because, yes, okay. So that scripture, and you can mark it in your Bible, is Revelation 19, verse 11. And now, the one writing this is the one who wrote the Gospel of John. He also wrote the books of, and we call them books, or we call them epistles, of the first, second, third John. And those were like letters. And then this, and then he also wrote the book of Revelation. This was like around 90 to 95 AD. It was, you know, late. But he wrote it on the Isle of Patmos. And this is about. It's not Revelations, it's Revelation, dealing with the return of Christ, etc. Now, I'm just going to read it again because your question has to do with animals not being in heaven or being in heaven. Well, in that one verse, Revelation 19, verse 11, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. That's referring to Jesus Christ. Whose rider is called Faithful and Truth and True. With justice, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one else but he himself knows. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And then it goes on to say, the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses. Not just the horse that Jesus rode in on, okay?
Right.
Riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, etc. So, no, you would have to literally take scissors and cut out this those verses to say, oh, no, there's no mention in the Bible of animals in heaven right there. It's as clear as can be. Now, what we don't have are animal names. And by the way, some people will point to another passage, and I've turned there, and it's like Isaiah 11. But in Isaiah 11, this can also be the second coming or the millennial reign. And I'm saying that just because I want to be accurate with you. But there it's talking about the wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed the bear, and it goes on. So you see all these animals. And so what I'm saying is, let me give you an answer in a different way. But before I do that, I want to hear, you said a rescue cat. I am familiar with rescue dogs. And I know there are other rescue animals, but you're the first person that I've ever heard until you have so dignified cats by virtue of, I didn't know that there were rescue cats. Thank you for telling me that.
Oh, you're welcome. When I, this cat's been sick pretty much since birth, so I've had a interest in like holistic medicine, and so they called me to adopt her. I did adopt her and just kind of nursed her back to health and did everything I could and had her for 8 years and loved her very much. Oh. And then I went on a trip because I'm supposed to have surgery, and when I went on a trip, she stopped eating, and I felt horrible. And the doctor said she was just very anemic, and her body was shutting down. So I always thought I could have done more to help her, but I guess I wasn't able to cure that. So.
Well, you know, if you were intended to do that, I hear your heart. You obviously loved her dearly. And for her to live 8 years, she lived to be 56 years in people years, because you multiply times seven, our people year, our each year, and you said 8 years times seven. So you should be the equivalent of 56. And that's when there are people who can start having difficulties, and animals, certain animals more so. What I think is extraordinary is you were telling, I think you were telling me that you rescued the cat. You were the rescuer. Is that right?
Well, I tried. That was my goal. That was my desire to help her out.
You did. You did. Okay, so, you know, the Lord looks at our hearts. You know, the Bible says man looks at the outward, but God looks at the heart. And he knew that if you could have done anything, because I hear it in your voice, if you could have done anything to save your cat, you would have done it. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. You know, but I still question that I didn't do enough or that I shouldn't have gone out of town for that medical appointment.
Tell me, what was the name of your cat?
Her name is Eve.
Oh, wow. Well, Eve was blessed to have you. And by the way, you know, let me ask, do you believe that God is a loving God?
Yes.
Do you believe that God has purpose for us?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And do you believe God knows all?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, you believe that God is who he says he is in the Bible, and you see that he has purpose, and he knows also, did he know that Eve would be having failing health?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And did he still allow you to go and seek to get medical help for you? Did he allow you to do that? Yes. That's not, by the way, you being selfish, because you had no idea. But you did not know that Eve would die. Now, literally, she would have died before you would be expected to die. But nevertheless, what he would not want you to do, and Eve would not want you to be living with regret, oh, I shouldn't have gone, or if only I had done this. Do you see that that doesn't bring glory to the precious relationship you had with Eve? We'll talk about that.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org. Did you know that June Hunt has a new website? JuneHunt.org gives you a behind-the-scenes peek into June's life and ministry. You'll hear her personal story of an uncertain childhood and how, even as a young adult, she struggled with anger, unforgiveness, lying, and her identity. Perhaps in June's story, you'll hear your story and discover the same hope and help that has guided her. As June says, God does not waste the trials in our lives. Along with June's story, you can see what's new as we work to share this message of biblical hope and practical help in more places and in new ways to reach more people. Because there is hope, no matter the circumstances. Make JuneHunt.org your place to go for what's new at Hope for the Heart, and make it your place to go for biblical hope and practical help anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Hope in the Night. We're a ministry of hope for the heart, offering God's truth for today's problems. And we exist because of your ongoing prayers and continued support of this ministry. We just want to say thank you for that. If you have questions or concerns about the topic of grief, we have Keys for Living that will help you with that. It's called Living at Peace with Loss. Again, grief. Living at Peace with Loss. You can call customer support at 800-488-HOPE. Now, they're available to you Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time, and they can help you access the appropriate resources for you. The number again, 800-488-4673. You may also email them at customersupport@hopefortheheart.org with any questions you might have regarding topics and resources discussed in tonight's program. The email again is customersupport@hopefortheheart.org. Now let's get back to our conversation with Tabitha.
Tabitha, I just had a memory I want to share with you. There's a radio station in the Dallas area, KCBI, and I was asked before Christmas, years ago, to come and be a guest on the program, and the general manager was the interviewer. And I came in, and he said, you know, there are things that could happen during Christmas, and I'd like for you to address those things. And so before the program started, I said, you know, there are going to be those who've lost a pet. And he started laughing. And he just really thought that was funny. I said, I'm really serious. I'm talking about that's a member of the family. This is important. And he just thought it was so funny. Whoever asked the first question, after we talked a little bit about Christmas, the first question had to do with, I lost my dog. And, you know, this person was weeping. It's like every single call had to do with the loss of a pet. And afterwards he said, June, I am so sorry. I just didn't understand. And he, you know, I never forget his response later. And he every once in a while would mention it to me. And, you know, sweetheart, there are people who don't understand. They don't understand the preciousness of that relationship like what you had with your cat, Eve. I'm hearing that there are some who didn't understand, like did they just not take it seriously? Or help me understand what happened after Eve died.
Well, I was just, it just caught me by surprise. I knew she had health problems, but I was in shock. You know, she just stopped eating and stopped drinking. Syringe feeding her wouldn't work, but I just questioned people and, you know, please tell me my cat's in heaven. I need to hear that. But they would coldly say, well, no, the cat doesn't have a soul, so they can't be in heaven. I guess they thought they were being matter of fact, but. It was just unthinkable, and I guess I was dealing with not only grief, but also the overwhelming guilt that I shouldn't have taken the trip. I was, you know, like you said, being selfish, and although I've been trying to take this trip for a very long time, but I just thought if I hadn't have taken the trip, you know, she would have been okay. And then the trip was for a surgery for, like, a sleep disorder that I've had for 30-plus years. It's taken many years in the making to make this happen, and I didn't want to miss the appointment. And,
no.
And I feel like I neglected her, I guess.
Now, that's what we need to talk about. Neglect. Okay, neglect. That's kind of like rejecting the heart of, in this case, your little Eve. Did you think that Eve knew that you loved her?
Yeah, she did. She always wanted to sit on my lap.
Constantly. That's precious. And did others know that you loved and you were devoted to Eve?
Oh, yeah. In fact, they all told me that I took really good care of her and she wouldn't have had a chance. Except one lady said, you know, hinted that I should have done more lab work for her, but I think I was just telling her my own guilt, and then she just kind of rehashed what I was saying, you know.
Well, sweetheart, let's look at the bigger picture. Let's look at God himself. It sounds like Eve was a gift from God to you during that time frame of your life, those 8 years, because you took beautiful care of her. Now, if, and I hear no hint of rejection or neglect. I'm hearing, and by the way, in order for you to be the best caretaker of a pet, you need to be healthy enough too. And in truth, if God had wanted you to not take that trip, do you think he would have found a way that you would not be on that trip?
Yes, certainly. It seemed to all fall into place for me to go, although I was fighting to make it happen for years, and then it finally fell into place. And
So in truth, the God of love that created Eve in the first place, the God who is the creator God that created you, he put you two together, and then when it was time for Eve to no longer live, Eve died, you were living, and it's not that, I'm listening carefully, I no one will take Eve's place, right? No cat could take her place. Now, it may be in the future you will be led by Lord to rescue another cat, another kitten. And by the way, I did that one time. I had Heidi and Howdy Hunt. And they were little white-haired, short white-haired kittens, and they were going to be destroyed. And people were telling me, June, you really ought to have, you know, they wanted me to get a dog. Well, I knew I couldn't because I had to travel quite a bit at that time. And they said, well, why don't you get, you know, and in fact, someone knew about this situation of these two little white-haired kittens that were going to be destroyed. And I said, well, I could try. And so, you know, I bought everything that I was advised to buy because I didn't have cats. And now, growing up, we had Frisky White Sox. Frisky White Sox had four white paws. It was a black cat with white and little white on the face. You know, really cute. But by and large, I was a dog person. And yet, it was fascinating. People who didn't like cats loved Heidi and Howdy. And they would say, I don't like cats, but I just love to be around Heidi and Howdy. And Howdy was a little cross-eyed. Might have been the runt of the litter. Heidi had a little bit of a little more prissy, you know. But she would jump up on the copy machine and take pictures of her behind sitting down, you know. And because I had a home office and then I had an office for Hope for the Heart. And my assistant here, she'd say, Heidi's taken another picture of herself. And she brought great joy. And eventually there was a point at which I became allergic. I don't know if I would be today, but anyway, I was coughing and coughing and coughing, and then I got tested, and they said, you're allergic to cat dander and dog dander and horse dander. And so I allowed the radio station for the highest bidder. They had something where, like a share-a-thon or something, anyway, where they were needing money for the radio station. And I said, you can have all the things, you know, but it's Heidi and Howdy. And it was interesting because a grandmother paid the highest price because the granddaughter, the cat, had died. And she said, this is just perfect for my granddaughter. And I thought that was very special because then the money made went to the radio station. That little daughter was just pleased as punch, just delighted to have Heidi and Howdy already trained. And then the grandmother had such great joy. And I think there are times when, like, just as you rescued Eve, I hadn't thought about it. This is the first time I've even thought about it, but I did rescue Heidi and Howdy. And it was a joy because, I mean, they were just delightful. And so it may be down the road, you will be led by the Lord to rescue another cat. Now, I'm going to emphasize, it's not that other cat or kitten will take the place of Eve. And some people will, somebody's grieving over the loss of, like in this case, Eve, you don't say, oh, well, you can always get another cat. That's like almost dismissing the preciousness of the relationship. But I'm wanting you to hear, I understand, I hear how meaningful that relationship was to you, and both ways. It was both ways, wasn't it? For you toward Eve and Eve toward you.
Yes.
So what we know is there are animals in heaven. And there are the one thing I want you to focus on is this. In the Bible, we read what heaven is like. And it also is in the book of Revelation. And it's a precious passage. There will be no more tears, no more death. In heaven, you see this list of huge difference from what is going on today, and that means no crying, no pain. It says no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. So I'm going to say it this way. Whatever is needed for you not to be grieving or crying or mourning, that is what the Lord will provide, because that's His promise of heaven.
Do you want to become a better people helper? Maybe you have loved ones, friends, or acquaintances facing difficult challenges. You want to help, but you just don't know what to do or how to give them the support they need. The Lifeline to Hope self-study course is designed for people like you. This is a 10-session video course on biblical caregiving that will equip you to become a better people helper. As you complete this course at your own pace, you'll learn how to provide effective care and support to others without being overwhelmed yourself. This comes from professional instruction with leading experts on biblical caregiving, effective listening, relationship skills, self-care, and more. God can use you to change lives. For a limited time, save 50% off the self-study with the coupon code HOPEINTHENIGHT. Learn more and order this course at lifelinetohope.org. That's lifelinetohope.org.
As we each solve the puzzle that is our life, we often have questions we can't answer. Usually, they're little nagging questions, but sometimes they're larger. So large, in fact, the answer or even the question itself can have life-changing consequences. June Hunt believes the best answers to these tough questions come from God Himself, and He's given us those answers in the Bible. For more than 20 years now, June has helped callers find these biblical answers and apply them to their lives. You can talk with June on her radio program, Hope in the Night, about an issue, a hurt, a relationship, or another concern in your life. Call 800-NIGHT-17. And remember, there are no hopeless situations, only people who have grown hopeless. There really are biblical solutions for all of life's struggles. Don't wait. Call now, 800-644-4817.
You are listening to Hope in the Night. I'm Jeff Oliver, and we'll get back to our caller in a moment. If you have questions that you'd like to ask of June, if you have something going on in your life, and you'd like to see how really what God's heart is on that and how we can apply, help you apply biblical hope and practical help to that, we do welcome your call. It's 800-NIGHT-17. That's to get on a future broadcast of Hope in the Night. Again, that's 800-NIGHT-17. Just call and leave us a message so we can get right back to you and schedule you for the next available Hope in the Night. That's 800-NIGHT-17 or 800-644-4817. Well, let's return to our conversation now with Tabitha.
And Tabitha, you brought out something that I think is important. There are people who may mean well. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt. People, you know, people are not trying to hurt you or hurt me or us. But how people talk can be painful. And you told me that there were painful words said. It's almost like indifference about your precious cat that you rescued, Eve, and when she died, people can say things, well, you should have, or whatever, and we have something called a topic of grief, and it's living at peace with loss. That's the subtitle, and in that section, it's how to build up the bereaved. What we're saying is when someone experiences a devastating loss, and I would call this a devastating loss for you, here I am appealing to the people reading this. God can use you to comfort and encourage others. Understand that each loss is unique and that your words have the power to hurt or to heal. And, you know, carefully consider your words as you seek to offer encouragement. And I think this is where some people hurt you by just the way they interacted. It's kind of like that general manager of the radio station who just laughed when I said, oh, there are going to be people who will be at Christmas and their pet would have died, and he just thought that was funny. But after he heard the crying, people weeping over the loss of their pet, you know, he said, I'm so sorry. I was so wrong. And again, he brought it up multiple times in the future. But what we have in our material is, what can you say? It's kind of like the death of a parent or a grandparent. We have, well, at least you... You know, at least your parent had a good long life. It says, no, you know, so we say, don't say that. Do say, I know he loved you or she loved you and would be proud of you. The death of a child, well, at least you could have another child. See, that totally misses the focus on the death of the child that died. But we say instead, your son was very special. You know, I always loved the way he did blah, blah, blah. Or, in fact, I'm a lot of times with people who've lost a spouse. It could be lost a husband or it could be lost a wife. You know, well, don't say, well, a lot of people remarry even at your age. No, it's totally dismissing and literally it's not focusing on the death of the loved one. But you say, you know, I valued his character or her character, or, and then you mentioned whatever the trait would be. At times, I don't even know the person who died. What I'll say is, could you tell me what was so special about your husband or about your dear friend? Or I could say to you right now, Tabitha, what was so special about Eve? Would you describe what was special?
Well, it just seemed like she believed in me no matter what. She wanted to be with me no matter what. Even when I felt awful on the inside, all she wanted is just to be with me.
That's kind of like what you would call unconditional love. Is that right?
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I got that from anyone else. She was just my buddy. Mm. I've had to not really focus on people because I've suffered from severe insomnia for decades and have to kind of stay by myself, and she's always been there.
Mm. It reminds me of when my mother had it wasn't really a close friend, but someone that she had a heart to help. And I remember her name was Mary. And one day she said, Mary's dog died, and she called the name. I don't remember what it was. And she said, I'm going to go buy another dog just like that breed. And sure enough, I don't know what the interval was between the time. I know it wasn't long. And so I then began to hear, I think Mary was a seamstress, and she would help people in certain ways. But she was just hurt deeply and deeply. She grieved over this dog. And mother came in, and here it was, a little puppy. And then I began to hear about the puppy and the joy. And because of that, I have a friend named Carolyn, and she had a cat, and then the cat died. Now, I remembered about, specifically, very much I remembered about Mary and the little puppy that mother got for her. And so there were two cats that were going to be, again, destroyed. I knew about them. I didn't know them. But somebody said they're going to either have to put them to sleep or whatever. And I said, well, let me take them to someone who I know has just experienced a loss. And when I took them over, it shocked my friend, Carolyn. And she said, oh, I don't think I was planning on having more cats. I went, oh. I said, I'm so sorry. She said, let me tell you what happened. they were there now for, 12 years, I think, or whatever the length of time was. And she would tell me about, one of them had kind of poor health, and so but I would hear all these stories. And so today, if ever I give Carolyn a gift, I have something, it'll be cat socks or a cat something. It's because she just loved cats. And she's living at a place now where there's with several people and there's only a dog and that's it. But the thing is, her heart's about, you know, with cats. And so it was easy and still is easy for me to buy for her, because when I see something that has a cat on it that I think she would like, I get that. And but what I got used to is when there was the death of, if it was a dog or a cat, those are the only two things I bought. Well, no, one sister and I got together and we got a parrot for my other sister because her parrot died. So that's the only other substitute in that way. But, you know, I think when the time is right and you pray about it, if you feel led by the Lord, God could use you to rescue another kitten that needs that kind of love and care. Because obviously, you know what it's like to be deeply devoted. Is that not true?
Yes, that's true. I deeply care about them.
Mm-hmm. Have you thought about, how long has it been since Eve
died? It's been a week and a few days. It was Friday.
Oh. Wow. Oh, so this is so fresh. So fresh.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about?
It hardly doesn't seem real yet.
Yeah, yes. Do you remember where you got Eve?
I got her from the Humane Society. It was another one that my friend recommended because Eve had so many health problems and no one else would adopt her.
You have such a precious heart.
Oh, thank you so much.
Well, no, that's huge. And, you know, the Lord created animals. So, obviously, they're there for a purpose. And so, the thing I will just say is, at times we have to understand that when people are not kind, when there's been the loss of, whether it's a dog or a cat or a whatever it is, they're going to be people. They have never been there. They've never cried. They don't know what it's like to cry at the death of an animal. Or some people, if there's a loss of a house, they think, well, you know, you'll find a place. They just...
Right.
Or a loss of a friend. Well, there are other people you could be a friend to. Yeah. So they just don't understand. Now you understand. And that means you can give compassion. In other words, sympathy is like patting somebody's head and saying, I'm sorry you're hurt. That's sympathy. Empathy says, I'll hurt with you. Now, that you certainly can do.
That
and
I
then,
can.
Yes. And compassion says, I'll hurt with you, and I'll stay. I'll stick with you. I'll be there for you until the hurt is gone. It's active compassion that is so precious. So, I'm glad that you are there to give others comfort and empathy who need it, because many people are not safe in that area. They just don't understand, but you do. So we have to give those people grace. Grace means a gift they don't deserve, but just give them grace that they don't understand. They don't understand. Maybe one day they will if they lose their own little pet. But I want you to pray about rescuing one that needs your love and care, because many don't know how to give that kind of unconditional love. I'm glad you called. Thank you, Tabitha.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Appreciate you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Pray for Tabitha, would you? Pray for her heart to heal. Thank you.
We will send some resources to tonight's caller free of charge due to your generous support of this ministry. We appreciate your participation in that. We are a listener-supported ministry. We thank you. We have Keys for Living called Grief, Living at Peace with Loss. And you may order resources for yourself at 800-488-HOPE anytime, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5 Central Time. Our materials and past programs are available at hopefortheheart.org. Also, check out our broadcast app. It is called Hope for the Heart. You can find previous programs on there, and it's a free download for you. Until next time, for June Hunt, I'm Jeff Oliver saying you hang on to hope.